Psalm 20, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you.
May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion.
May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice.
May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill your purpose.
We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions.
Now I know the Lord saves his anointed. He answered me from his holy heaven, saving strength at his right hand.
Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. Amen. Okay, I'd like you for a moment, as we look at Psalm 20 here, to cast your mind back over the last several weeks. In Psalm 18, as we went through that, we saw that this spoke of Jesus' actual sacrifice, his fulfilling the command of God in salvation, and earning, so to speak, if you can say that about the second person of the Trinity, the right to be the Messianic King, or the covenant King over the world. In Psalm 19 last week, and in what we just sang, we saw that now the redeemed world shows the glory of God, and how the revelation of God that we find in nature speaks enough to condemn, but not enough to save. But then that God has given in His law the word that we need, the word of salvation. And in that also the law of God, and how now one who is redeemed, a covenant child of God, can obey Him and can live in communion with God. But we saw also that the Redeemer is the one that we rest in. And the Redeemer now enthroned in heaven is our King. And how as we follow Him, we also follow the Father. Now as we look at verse 20, we see now the kingdom of the Christ. We see in the Psalm of David, the King on His throne, the response of the Father to this King, and the response of the people to the King as well. It is a prayer for the King, but also a prayer for the kingdom. It's a prayer for our time. This was not about David. This was a Psalm of David, to the one greater than he, his seed that would sit on the throne. The one that David in Psalm 110 said, "My Lord," or it's said of, "My Lord said to the Lord." David said to Jehovah. And here we have again the Psalm of the King, and we'll look at that today. This is the kingdom today, the messianic kingship of Christ, and as it applies in the New Testament. It starts with, "May Jehovah answer you." The "you" here is Jesus. This is the people of God singing to Jesus. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. Notice here that we have first that God will answer, but then may the name of the God defend you. That the name of the Father, the name of God that we bear, that Christ bears, is actually a salvation in and of itself. May He send you help from the sanctuary or from heaven and strengthen you out of Zion. May He remember all your sacrifice, all your offerings, and accept your burnt sacrifice. Selah. Let's stop and think about what we just read. That as Christ, as Jesus, is the King over the nations and is King over the world, what is the prayer of the people of God? That the Father will be with this Christ, with this King. That He will be defended, and we along with Him. That the church will be defended from heaven. That from Zion, or from the mountain of God, will the people of God receive strength and help. May He, the Father, remember all of Jesus' offerings, His life of perfect obedience, and we see in the second half of verse 3, and accept your burnt sacrifice. The word there doesn't necessarily mean burnt. The word there, ola, for burnt sacrifice, is total sacrifice, or one completely dedicated to God as a sin offering. And that is how we come before the Father. This is how we are seen as sinless. This is how we are Christians. So indeed, may the Father accept the burnt sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because that's the only terms that we may come to God on. Verse 4, moving on, may He, again the Father, grant you, Jesus, according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. This is a very interesting verse in Hebrew. Very interesting, and not just for the sake of a curiosity. But what this means, how this reads in the Hebrew is just, it's fascinating, first of all, but it's also very important. May He grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. What is the purpose of the king? It's to see His people saved, certainly, but that's not even the most of it. We are saved to something. We are saved to lives in communion with Christ, lives in communion with the Father. But even more so, we are fulfilled, or we are called to the fulfillment of the dominion mandate, the original command on Adam and Eve, which was to fill the earth and subdue it. Adam and Eve had to subdue, or were commanded to subdue the world from weeds. We are commanded to subdue the world in Christ from sin. We are called to redeem the world, to reverse the effects of the fall through evangelism, through work, through being obedient servants of the King. Verse 5, the word salvation there, you see that? You know what that word is in Hebrew? It is Yeshua. The actual name of Jesus in Hebrew, in Aramaic. What He was called, when Mary wanted her boy, she would call Yeshua. And that is the word salvation there. It says, literally, we will rejoice in Yeshua. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners, or we will proclaim ourselves, or we will name ourselves. We hear people talking about the hymn or psalm say that they want to sing the name of Christ. They want to sing of Jesus. Well, this psalm specifically names Him. This song specifically says, Yeshua. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord, or may Jehovah, may Yahweh, fulfill all your petitions. Think about this. This is written again as the setting up of the Messianic Kingdom. And the people of God, after praying that God will accept the sacrifice of the Messiah, of God's anointed, we sing, may He then fulfill the Messiah's, the Christ's desires, and fulfill all His purposes on earth. And we will rejoice in the salvation of God. We will rejoice in Jesus. And in the name of our Lord, you see there, God is not the L-O-R-D, it's not Jehovah. But in the name of our Elohim, our God, the more generic name, we will set up our banners. We will put up signs of who we are and what we are. And may the Lord fulfill all your petitions, working in us, the people of God, to fulfill the desires of the Messiah. Now in verse 6, now I know that Yahweh saves His Christ. That's what that says. That Jehovah will save His Messiah. His anointed, His Christos. Those are all the same words. The psalm's not about David. Again, the psalm is about Jesus Christ. Because that word there is Christ. The Lord saves His anointed. He will answer Him from the holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. As Christ, as Christianity, as the church spreads throughout the world, God will answer Him from the holy heavens with the saving strength of the right hand of the Father. We will be preserved. We will be saved. We will have that strength. And how is it the church is called to subdue the world? How is it that the people of God are called to fulfill this mandate again, to return the world to God? Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of Jehovah, our God. It is often said that Christianity is no better than Islam because we want to spread the gospel and we want to force people to be Christians. But we don't. There's no issue of force in the Christian church. Even the Crusades weren't about forcibly converting people, even though that's the slander. Here we see the church is told not to trust in chariots or in horses or any strength of man, nothing military, nothing of the sort. But as we go about our job, as we answer the call of God, we are to remember only the name of Yahweh our God, or Jehovah our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. The sinners, those who stand against God, will bow down and fall. some in death by God's hand, but more and more as time goes on through salvation, as they bow down and fall, they will become us. And the second half of this verse will then be them. But we have risen and stand upright. Because I once opposed the church. And I know that God, in His power, caused me to bow down and fall. But then I rose again, as Jesus did, with the new life of Christ in me. And then the last verse, save Jehovah, may the King answer us when we call. The Father saved the church, saved His Son, saved Jesus, so that the King will answer us when we call. And as we pray in Christ's name, the Father will hear and answer His prayer and ours as our mediator prays along with us. This psalm is a psalm of the church, but even more so, it's a psalm of the Redeemer, of the power of Christ on earth as the King, as He is titled, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and how all then should bow down before Him and all fulfill the command of God. So as we sing this, let's remember who we're singing about. Let us sing joyfully this psalm about Jesus our Christ,